Welcome to Augusta Free Press. I am Chris Graham, and I'm joined by Crystal Graham, and we're going to talk with you about the latest on the COVID-19 response in Virginia. And we monitored Governor Northam's press conference earlier today. And not only that, but then Crystal listened to it, and then I went through and read the transcript that I produced. And Crystal, some positive developments, it seems, for those who are interested in seeing baby steps towards the beginning of a new normal in Virginia. And so we got some good things maybe report on here on this Friday.
Yeah, for the past, I'd say, week or so, Governor Northam's rhetoric has changed a little. You know, his outlook has changed. He's been a lot more positive about where things stand in Virginia. For those of you who tuned in to his news conferences early on, you'll recall that for many, many weeks, his message was simply stay at home, you know, keep your family safe. And that's really changed. Not that he said don't stay at home at this point, but he's not re-emphasizing that at every single news conference. It seems this week in particular, he started to shift as far as looking at reopening the economy. You wrote a story that said that he could be looking at reopening things as soon as May 8th. Today, he stopped short of announcing any particular dates, but said that an announcement would be coming Monday, possibly related to those terms. He also spoke about how Virginia is really starting to meet a lot of benchmarks. So at first, he said, for the first time, that Virginia has flattened the curve. He talked about hospitals, for one thing. You know, there was the reason that that the stay-at-home order was issued because there was a fear that hospitals would be overrun, that there wouldn't be enough bed capacity, there wouldn't be enough ventilators. That hasn't happened in Virginia. So that was one of the things that he said that has been very positive. While case counts have continued to go up, that's natural, he said, because they're testing more people. In fact, he said that I believe it was yesterday, they had their highest testing day with 5,800 people tested. So obviously, if you're testing more people, you're going to get more positive results, but the percentages, that doesn't necessarily, you know, weigh out. So he said it's a very positive thing. As you can recall, his goal is to get capability to test up to 10,000 people per day. The other thing that has been a factor in reopening the economy, so to speak, here in Virginia has been the amount of personal protective equipment or PPE that Virginia has on hand. They are going to be opening some locations, including one in Blacksburg, that will actually decontaminate up to 240,000 masks per day, basically sanitizing these masks and making them available for reuse. So as a result of that, in addition to the PPE that has already been coming in, Governor Northam says that he believes that we're starting to get on top of that as well. So all those things are playing into a decision as to whether or not there'll be baby steps made to reopen Virginia. So when we talk about that, Chris, of course, we're not talking about everything opening up all at once. We're not talking, as you know, that since we had our last news update, the city of Waynesboro has canceled summer extravaganza. They've also closed their public pool for the summer at Ridgeview Park. And the city of Stanton has, they're the nonprofit that runs their July 4th celebration, America's Birthday Celebration, has decided to cancel this year, saying they'll be back in 2021. There could be two reasons for that. One could be, of course, the number of people that would obviously turn out to those events. They tend to be high volumes of people, but also budget cuts, which are becoming very necessary with city budgets. As we talked about in the last news update, Waynesboro alone is looking at about a $4 million shortfall in its budget. So I think both of those play a factor. Governor Northam said, and I'll let you, of course, you looked at the transcripts, which included questions and things of that nature, but it did seem that he was signaling that on Monday, they would be making some announcements related to how we might start to look at this reopening of Virginia. Again, you've looked at other states. You heard Dr. Rimley talk during the news conference as well. And it seems like she's very pleased that we're at what they call phase two of reopening Virginia. They've kind of put forth a plan that has, I think, five phases. So as a whole, Chris, you asked, was it a positive news conference? For those of you who believe that, you know, that things should start reopening, especially businesses, things of that nature, it seems like we're moving in that direction.
Yeah, a lot to bite into there. A lot of different areas that that you've covered. Maybe start with, because I want to comment on all those things, but I'll kind of start with what Governor Northam and Dr. Remley both had to say in terms of where we are and where we may be going. May 8th is a significant date, not only because it was 2 weeks from last Friday when he talked, when he threw that date out there as a possible reopening date, 14 days of cases going down or percentage of cases going down, that kind of thing, was a standard. And May 8th was the first date that could come from 2 weeks from last Friday. It seemed then that might be a little pushy to get to May 8th, but now from hearing what the governor and Dr. Remley from Virginia, the Virginia Department of Health both had to say, it may not be a stretch to suggest that May 8th will be the beginning of some sort of, well, reopening, but I guess technically we've already sort of reopened our economy to some degree with the news that today elective surgeries can once again proceed in Virginia hospitals. Dentist offices, doctor's offices can begin those steps towards reopening, taking patients and that kind of thing. We talked about on our last show a couple of days ago we don't think of healthcare as being a big part of the economy, but it actually is. And a lot of the GDP decline that we've seen, related to COVID is actually the healthcare economy declining. So that's, and Governor Northam, we've talked about that today. He said, what we've already taken steps of with the healthcare industry is where some states are talking about May 1st being a reopening date. That's what they're doing is actually reopening their healthcare industry. So it's nomenclature. It's kind of, however you want to define things, but in Northam's mind, that's already a step in the direction.
Chris, and correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they say, wasn't May 8th the date that it kind of expires related to, if I remember right, like hair salons, things like that, that their order
on that. You're exactly right. That is a technical date for the expiration of the current executive order. And so nothing said today about that, except that Monday there will be more announcements. And so in fact, we were told that the press would get an opportunity. I guess we'll have to jump on that call Monday morning before the regular 2 p.m. Facebook Live that's broadcast by a lot of TV stations as well. But you're right, Crystal, that May 8th is actually a technical date for that as well. But the governor did point out that, Virginia, unlike a lot of states, some of the other Democratic states, California has been under fire by its citizens for this. When we closed business, when we quote unquote non-essential businesses, our list of businesses isn't nearly as delineated, defined as some other states' list of businesses. Virginia didn't, restaurants certainly are closed, but then again, you can get your takeout at restaurants. You can go through drive-thrus at places. Other states have actually had closed those down and made that opportunity not available to their citizens. So, going into restaurants, going to hair salons and nail places and that kind of thing, we did make it so hospitals couldn't operate except for COVID. He pointed out though that, hey, unlike a lot of states, we didn't put those really stringent measures in place, which then makes it significant that Virginia has seen what it's seen in terms of the health numbers. I also want to point out that Virginia is finally catching up in its data collection. And I just looked at, I wanted to reinforce, as you were talking, Crystal, I looked up some numbers. We've seen in other countries and some states that break down this level of reporting, the number of cases, the number of deaths that are in nursing homes. Virginia finally today updated its numbers there. And it's not obviously a good number at all to share, but more than half of the deaths reported associated with COVID-19 in Virginia, more than half, 311 of the 582 as of right now, were in nursing home settings. And so I say that to make the point that a lot of folks have been making since the beginning of this process. We've shut everybody down. We've locked everybody in essence in their homes, when really the focus needs to be on better, smarter policies regarding those. Half the people are in nursing homes, half the people and thus are in their late 70s, 80s, 90s. But Virginia's finally catching up in terms of data, and we really now know that the worst of this is among the elderly, the vulnerable elderly, in those settings that they're confined in closed spaces. And I would hope, we didn't hear anything of this today, I hope that we hear on Monday that we have some better, more focused policies regarding what we can do there, because, it doesn't make sense to shut everything down when the bulk of the problem is in places that we can identify readily.
Yeah, it does seem like everything we're saying right now is a lot of speculation on our part. But that being said, it seems like the most common sense approach would be shutting, you know, would be continuing restrictions on places where there's a high level of senior citizens. And then the other thing that we talked about and that the governor has addressed and said that his business team was going to look at was also about breaking things down based on localities, because certainly some areas in Virginia have been much harder hit. For example, most of the cases it seemed to be are in Northern Virginia, in Richmond, or in Hampton Roads. So it is possible, and again, I think this is more unlikely, but it does seem that the governor is weighing the possibility of possibly opening Virginia up at different stages as well, depending on where you're located.
He did address that later in the press conference today, and I wouldn't agree with your characterization that it doesn't seem likely. I think it is somewhat likely that you'll see, maybe not open. Again, we have to characterize here. I mean, as much as, you know, to me, I guess I can't claim to know as much as a governor does or anything else, but I know as much as anybody who can read volumes of reports, spending way too much time thinking about it for someone who's not paid to do so. I don't get paid $175,000 a year like the governor does to run the state of Virginia, but I've dived into these numbers as much as a layman can. And, you know, again, it does seem like the issue is with seniors, vulnerable seniors outside, not just seniors, but the vulnerable seniors, and also in congregate care settings. But that said, yeah, as far as talking about the different parts of the state, he does seem like there is a possibility of that. I mean, there are logistics to work out even there. One thing was brought up was, for example, the governor said today that one business owner in Southwest Virginia who is very much in favor of seeing things more opened up in parts of the state that haven't been hit by COVID at all. A concern could be, well, you can get on the interstate and go down to Southwest Virginia and do business there if you live in Northern Virginia and you're from a place that has maybe a higher incidence of COVID in that community. What can we do there? I would say common sense tells me that if we start looking really closely at these numbers, like I've done, and when I say look closely at these numbers, the numbers that we're reporting from the Virginia Department of Health talking about congregate care settings, nursing home settings, and seeing the numbers, those are only updated as of today. So I can't tell you I've looked at these numbers in depth, but even glancing at those numbers, we're seeing that the bulk of this is in these settings. And so to throw out as a boogeyman tactic, the scare tactic of, oh, well, people driving from Northern Virginia to Southwest Virginia to go shopping. Well, one, that's not going to happen. But two, even if it does, unless you're taking a busload of people from a nursing home from Northern Virginia and sending them down to Southwest Virginia down 81, it's not an issue. So, but yeah, there is talk about that, Crystal. And it does seem like Monday we're going to learn more. I don't know what we're going to learn. It's not going to be, wide open starting next Friday or anything else. But I do think that we're going to see an announcement that we're going to see some opening of Virginia that's going to be announced. It's going to be announced on Monday. I don't know what the date will be in the future that'll take effect, but we could see some things starting to open up as early as maybe late next week.
Chris, were you a little surprised that Stanton and Waynesboro canceled their July 4th celebrations? I mean, it seemed to me, we're in early, today's May 1st, we're a couple months away from those celebrations. I know a lot of planning goes into that, advanced planning, but I guess it took me a little off guard that those were already canceled when we don't really know where things are going to be 2 months from now.
Well, let's be careful. You did say it earlier, and then now you phrase it as Stanton canceling. It's July 4th. Stanton,
right.
Stanton doesn't have a July 4th. A nonprofit, Happy Birthday America, as it's called now, actually is in charge of that Stanton celebration. So in Waynesboro, it is the city of Waynesboro. So it's not.
But I would guess that the Happy Birthday America likely consulted with the city before they made their decision. I wouldn't think necessarily. But because the announcements came out on the same day as well. Waynesboro sent out their announcement and the Happy Birthday America sent out their announcement on the same day. It just seemed a little coordinated.
Well, I don't know, but I mean, I don't know that. And I'll say again that they are different. I mean, Waynesboro, because of the history of how they started, the Happy Birthday America celebration dates back to the Happy Birthday USA that the Statler brothers put on. In fact, as we know, it's two of the sons of Statler brothers, Will and Langdon Reed, that are responsible for bringing back the Happy Birthday America in their father's honor. a few years ago. That is, and Waynesboro then responded with its summer extravaganza a week later because they couldn't compete with the July 4th, so they did theirs a week later and have done so for 20 plus years. But that is a city-directed event. So I don't want to put them in the same basket. I don't want to blame Stanton for anything because I don't know the involvement of Stanton in the decision-making process. We do know in Waynesboro, though, that Waynesboro city government said, sent a news release email out yesterday saying that, no, we're canceling. And they did cite fiscal issues as the first reason. I mean, they, you know, then threw something in about public safety and public health. But the first and primary thrust of their news release was about fiscal issues. I mean, I wrote a column today suggesting that, one, it's May 1st. As you mentioned, it's May 1st, where the summer extravaganza event in Waynesboro is usually mid-July, you know, second week of July, second weekend of July. And so, you know, we learn more every day. In fact, we learned today. We have a better feel from how our governor's feeling about the situation statewide. And so, you know, I mean, literally within a couple hours today, we went from me writing this morning more hopeful that, hey, things are going to get better, to the governor giving us a lot more reason to think that things are definitely moving on in the right direction in Virginia. But now you've canceled it. If you're the city of Waynesboro, you've canceled your summer extravaganza. You know, they could have easily, Crystal, gone to the community and said, look, you know, there are budget situations. I looked up some numbers related to this. I don't have the most recent numbers for what, and certainly what the city was discussing for what this year's event would have cost. Based on past year's numbers, I'm guessing around $20,000 is what the city would have contributed to this event. That's a drop in a bucket. The city budget is a close to $50 million budget. $20,000 is nothing. It's literally what you'd find in your couch cushions. It felt like to me that what was really going on there, Crystal, was it was just bad messaging. I mean, on the part of the city. And then you mentioned they closed the city pool for the summer already. Again, citing, you know, budget numbers. I mean, again, you could have gone to the business community and said, hey, can we figure out a way to raise the money to do this? Because who's impacted by that, Crystal? It's not people like, you know, it's not the people who's for the kids. Because the bulk of the people who go to the public pools are kids, families who take their kids. It's not the kids who have pools in their backyard. It's not the families, the upper middle class families who have pools. It's the poor kids. It's the working class kids, the people like us who grew up here.
So that's what I would get at, is that if it's a public safety issue, that's one thing. If they somehow have knowledge that we don't, that there's no way that, you know, large gatherings are going to be opened up by the end of the summer, you know, which we're looking at what, like August versus September.
But it's not a large gathering.
That would be one story, but I agree with you that it's a drop in the bucket. And sometimes I think that people can achieve more, and this applies to governor, you know, to municipalities as well. I think sometimes that you can do more if you say, we're considering this as an option, and then let the community respond. Because in a lot of cases, like you said, it's possible that business support could have stepped up, or community organizations like Kiwanis and Rotary and things like that that see a need might have been able to step up. So if it was purely a fiscal matter, I would think you'd want to give that opportunity. We were involved with the Waynesboro Generals for many, many summers. We know they raise, you know, $30,000 to $60,000 every summer. They're not operating this summer. So there are businesses that supported that might have funds to allocate. I do understand things are tight with businesses too, but I know that it's not every business has been impacted. You know, certain sectors have certainly been impacted more. And there are good people in this community who want to see kids being able to go to pools and things like that. So my just personal opinion is that, you know, if it was strictly a fiscal matter, that perhaps before we said, let's shut the doors, you know, on these programs on extravaganza, because we've done scaled back extravaganzas in the past.
Yeah.
You know, before we shut the doors on these and just said canceled for this year, maybe just say these are things that we're considering, and then see what the community response would have been to that. If it's a matter of public safety, if they've gotten some indication from the governor's office that there's no possibility that you could have, you know, 200 people at the pool, for example. I don't know what their fire code number is for how many people can actually be there, but I would assume, you know, between 100 and 200 people. And, you know, extravaganza is obviously thousands of people. That's a completely different beast. But I certainly think that they could have scaled extravaganza back to the, you know, to some simple music, a few food stands, and still make it a memorable family event for people without completely getting rid of it. So again, I don't know, because we haven't had a chance to talk to to the mayor, to anyone else here in Waynesboro. But my questions would be, was it 100% fiscal, or, you know, how much did public safety play a role in it? Because I do think that those are two different things.
The governor made a point today to point out that Virginia didn't close down its beaches. Other states have done so. California famously today closing down beaches only in Orange County, a Republican area in a Democratic state. The governor made it a point to say we did not close our beaches down. And
they were always open for exercise, you know,
what's a pool? I mean, and what we know today on May 1st versus what we know on June 1st, what we know on July 1st. I mean, the city has said we're closing it down for the summer. They didn't say we're not going to open it up on June 15th or whatever date they might have opened it up. They said we're closed for the summer. That's a declarative statement. That's a finality kind of statement. We're not going to have extravaganza, not this summer. Not that we're going to maybe think about having it in August. Maybe we'll have it in September. We're not having it. If you really wanted to do it, if you really wanted to preserve it, you could have said, hey, we're going to not open on the date we normally open the pools, but we're going to look for ways that we can figure out how to implement social distancing as the guidelines continue to adapt based on the knowledge that we have of the public health situation, which improves every hour of every day. The more studies we see, the more we're seeing that, you know, it's going to be something. The governor today, for example, saying, yeah, we're going to open schools up. He said it would be a surprise if we didn't open schools up on time this year. They're talking about doing year-round school to make up from what we missed this year. I mean, there's a lot of things moving in the right direction. And the city of Waynesboro just said yesterday, screw it, we're done. And to me, it felt vindictive. It felt like it was like the local government here just wanted to say, screw you guys, we're going home. We're not, you know, no fun in Waynesboro. And they could have waited. There was nothing saying yesterday we had to put out this dampen the mood kind of, you know, press release to say, you know, no fun in Waynesboro this summer. I mean, it's just, it's tone deafness to a great degree from the city government to do this. I think they owe the people of Waynesboro an apology, even if it could be the worst it could be. You could have easily said, we're going to try to have an extravaganza. You could have just said that. I mean, we don't know right now if we're going to have it. We're going to try to. If we can't have it in July, maybe we'll have it in August. We're going to have a big fireworks show. You didn't have to have 20,000 people in the park. You could have said, we're going to put a fireworks show on, and at the very least, drive around, and we're going to maybe find the highest hill, maybe go up on the mountain and do a fireworks show, and you'll be able to see it. They could have figured that if they really wanted to do it, they could have figured out a way to do it. They just said, oh, throw our hands up in the air. We can't do it. That's so depressing. I mean, that's just bad leadership. These people need to take a lesson from FDR's fireside chats back during the Great Depression. He didn't get on the radio every weekend and say, woe is us. The world's coming to an end. Stick your head in the ground and hope that you live through it. You know, it was positive messaging. We're getting nothing in terms of positive messaging from our local government here. We're starting to get it from the governor, and I'm pleased to hear that, because for weeks it was gloom and doom from him too. Today it seemed like he's finally got the idea that maybe somebody in his cabinet says, or somebody on the task force says, you know what, maybe stop acting like the world's coming to an end, and let's see if we can get some people to work positively. City of Waynesboro could learn the same lesson.
All right, Chris, so that is the thrust of our news update today, is just that more is coming on Monday. So you can expect to see additional stories on Augusta Free Press related to today's news conference. You can go to AugustaFreePress.com. Chris is going to be working on those diligently for the next hour or so, just to keep you informed on the information that was released today. But the short story there is more information is coming Monday. It seems like the governor and his team are very pleased with how things are going, and he expects to update us all on Monday. So those news conferences that he has for the public are typically held Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 2 p.m. So I assume Mondays will be at 2 p.m. It's aired, like Chris said, on several television stations, but also if you just search Governor of Virginia on Facebook, you can find that as well. In addition to that, he did say that he would be having a news update for reporters and for media throughout the state of Virginia earlier that morning. So certainly we'll be tuned into that, and we'll bring you the information that we have at the earliest possible time that we can on Monday. Chris, was there anything else that you wanted to add to today's news update?
Just that, you know, to end on a positive note, we're heading to the weekend.
70 degree temperatures
I was going to say, as if weekends matter anymore, because every day is a weekend day because you're stuck at home. But yeah, 70 degree temperatures this weekend. It's going to be nice weather. I encourage folks to get out. And as much as I don't mean to diminish the public health messaging, I certainly don't mean to do that. As much as I may personally have convinced myself otherwise of the lethality of this disease, follow the public distancing messaging. But you know what? We live in Waynesboro. Wherever you live watching this, be responsible about this, but go outside. Go in, if you have a yard, go out in your yard, have some fun this weekend. Maybe drag a TV on your back porch like we're going to do, and get some sun, get some fresh air. Maybe go to our Greenway in Waynesboro, the South River Greenway. Your parks are open. Go out and enjoy some of this fresh air. It's going to be the first really nice weekend we've had since the lockdown. And Crystal, I just realized this. I've told you this, but I'm going to tell our viewers this. We're, 51 days into this lockdown now? Is this 51 days or 50 days?
It was officially 50 days from the start on March 13th, our start date.
50 days. Okay, so 7 weeks and a day. I have not left the city limits of Waynesboro in 7 weeks and a day. It just hit me yesterday when I was doing a run. I do get out and get my 6 to 10 mile runs in every day, but I have not left the city limits of Waynesboro. So you know what I might do, Crystal? I might actually daringly get into a car and maybe just drive a little bit over to city limits line into the county. I might do that this weekend. So yeah, I'm have some fun. I mean, enjoy this weather. Enjoy, as much as it seems like the thrust of what you see on social media is gloom and doom, it's not. It's not. You know, every day that passes is a day we get closer to getting back to some sense of normal. And so for those out there, Crystal, you work in the mental health field. You volunteered and worked in the mental health field for a number of years. You know, I do have concerns for people who are going through that cabin fever. And so this weekend's a great opportunity to just get out of the cabin fever and have a good time outside, get some fresh air, get some exercise, get a little bit of normalcy. Maybe go out, go to Klein's and get a milkshake. We're going to do that. We're going to get in a car, get a milkshake, and just drive. We have a convertible car, maybe put the top down, get some sun, have the wind blow through my hair.
Your hair. Yeah.
The hairs, there are small ones on it. And just have a mental health weekend. So you know what? Do it. Enjoy this weather. Enjoy your life. And for those out there who seem to want to be negative all the time, it might do you some good too. You know, actually get out there and be a real person. And you might have a different perspective after the weekend's over. And Monday, we're expecting Crystal to have some more good news about where Virginia is in this process.
Yeah. So like Chris said, self-care is very important. So take advantage of the beautiful temperatures, garden, get out for a walk, take a bike ride, take your dog for a walk, you know, whatever makes you happy. And if you're worried about someone, check in on them, you know, give them a quick call. I know tomorrow is my mother's birthday. I went to Stewart Straff. So I did leave the city of Waynesboro this morning just to get her a cake. And plan to do a porch drop-off for her tomorrow. Already sent her flowers from Waynesboro Florist, which she was just thrilled with. So happy birthday, Mom. Everybody have a great weekend. And we'll see you back on Monday with hopefully some breaking news from the governor that gets business and gets kind of Virginia back on track here as far as some sort of normal. And like Chris said, not diminishing anyone's, you know, public health, public safety. We need to take proper steps. But I think that, especially for areas of the state that have not been hit hard, you know, it's time.
It is time. So now it's time to get out. It's Friday at 4:30 as we're wrapping this up. Get out there and enjoy this evening and have a good weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.